So let's do a test. Let's see if the voice transcriber still works. Hello. It's the morning of the 18th of July, day after the flight. I woke up after about 6 hours of sleep. It's about 8 a.m. right now. The sun is very bright outside, so I think it's time to wake up and start going against the jet lag. So I was advised by Lufthansa to be really early at the airport because it is still the tail end of Euro 2024 taking place here in Germany. So expected high volume of passengers. Got to wake up at 6, head to the train station at 7. Made it to the airport well in time, just after 8. Luggage drop-off really easy. To use the fancy Terminal 1, first time ever. Everything is pretty automated. That's nice, actually. I still remember back in the day flying with Ryanair between Poland and UK, and having to check luggage was an absolute pain, and waiting in queues for hours, and here it was just pretty instant. You go to this little counter if you've checked in before. Then you just scan your pass and it prints you a label for your luggage. You put luggage on a tape and off you go. It's actually pretty sweet. Security checks without any problems. Passport checks didn't happen in Berlin, obviously, because we're flying to Frankfurt first. Had some food, second breakfast, basically. Then went to my flight gate when it was announced shortly after, really. I didn't even have to wait much, even though I was way early. I took a little action cam with me to see if I can maybe record some footage and make a little compilation for people. A lot of people asked me for photos and some sort of narrative or a diary around this trip. So we're gonna give it a shot. Kind of inspired by Pete's diaries. His diaries are always great from his trips. So we got on the first plane to Frankfurt. Easy mode. Only an hour hop or less, or something like this. Got off in the apparently dreaded Frankfurt airport, and I have to say, that was probably the simplest change. I didn't have to walk far. There was no issues at the gates. No problems with passport. Just scan and go. Very nice. Actually didn't have to walk much. Basically, very short walk. It does mean that you end up going to the airplane by bus, but really, I still feel like the fact you don't have to walk for miles and miles is makes it a good change. The flight to Vancouver was more colorful, I would say. I ended up being seated on the alley side, on the right side of the middle row, and I had fantastic trip companions. Two ancient Arab folks of some kind, an old grandpa and grandma, decided that they basically need the whole row to themselves, the whole four seats in the middle, and they didn't want to give space to other passengers that booked that space. They just wouldn't even talk to the crew. They didn't care. They didn't really speak English. And the crew gave up and gave passengers other seats. I did end up sitting on my seat in their row. So they basically took 3 spaces out of the 4. And the grandma that was 60 next to me was... well, it's not man spreading, but it works the same, I guess. I felt quite cramped with her elbowing me for the whole 8 goddamn hours. The worst thing, though, probably was that she was just incessantly coughing without covering her mouth or anything and demanding non-stop attention from the crew. Just drinks and food all the time. Which, I have to say, the crew took with a smile on the face, and they were very professional and nice. I would probably have gone crazy if I had to serve these people. I'm not sure what it was. My instinct tells me there was probably some sort of a big family gathering or a wedding, because there was a bigger group of these either Arab or Hindu folks on the plane, because when we were asked to board on the Frankfurt airport, boarding is supposed to commence in groups, and every passenger gets a boarding group. So first families with kids and disabled people board, then group 1, then group 2, then group 3, which is supposed to make it orderly. But this mass of people, which I presume most of do not speak English or German at that point, simply just stood in the way and waited at the gate, completely disregarding the crew, and basically blocked access to anyone with kids or disabilities or whatever group the staff were calling out. So the staff eventually just gave up and told people to board as is. In contrast, once we landed in Canada, it was a completely opposite vibe. There was like barely any people at the gate. It was a small propeller plane to take us the last hop from Vancouver to Cranbrook. There was one older lady at the gate managing everything. She announced that the plane is very full and that she would like everybody to cooperate so that we don't delay. But like, everyone just formed an orderly queue and slowly meandered onto the plane. It was very chill and calm. Passport control and immigration ingress in Vancouver was really smooth. So before you come in as a Polish person, you need to go and basically link your passport to their ETA system, is what they call. You pay $7, and then with your biometric passport and that ETA, you can come and go into Canada for as long as the passport is valid, or 5 years, whichever comes first. Then you have to fill out the immigration form, which can also be done electronically. So Lufthansa, when you check in or for the flight, will tell you that you can go and install an app called ArriveCan, which I did. I filled it out a couple of days before my arrival, and it actually worked. So when I arrived at the airport in Vancouver, after landing, before you go and see an immigration officer or whatever at the little window, you go to a little computer stand and scan your passport. And if you've done the electronic immigration form, it'll just make you accept what you've pre-filled and print your little piece of paper, and that's it, saving your time. Well, I was actually surprised that it works, because a lot of the time these like government app things will just be trash. They'll tell you, yeah, you have to do this and that, and then in the end it doesn't even matter. But no, this one worked. following that, I was actually grilled, had a big quiz of questions to answer to the immigration dude. He was a younger dude. So I don't think there was anything malicious or anything, what do you call it, serious about this whole questioning. He was just checking me out. He basically asked me like 9 or 10 questions about where I'm from, why I'm flying, where I'm flying, how long I'm staying. But the fun part is like a bunch of the questions he repeated, seemingly to catch me out on being inconsistent or something and making a mistake, which actually, you know, it can happen after you've been on your legs and on the plane for like 12 or 14 hours at that point, being quite tired. But yeah, no, it was all good. Went through, found my gate, and yeah, the rest was just chill. Yeah, the last hop was super easy and very chill on the little propeller plane. It was again an hour and a little bit. Landed. The Cranbrook Airport is just fantastic. It's basically just one big room. You leave the landing strip, you go into a building, and basically that's it. That's everybody standing there waiting for people. The luggage reclaim tapes are there, and then you just walk out the other end and you go straight into the car park. It reminds me of like either some of the super small airports in the UK, or maybe like smaller ones in Poland, although even in Poland they usually have more than one room. I think Midlands Airport was a little bit like this, although they had two rooms. They had the like pre passport check and like luggage reclaim, and then the one after where people were waiting. But yeah, it was very, very cute. Yeah, Brento found me no problem. Obviously didn't have to search much considering the location of my arrival. And then we went to town to do some shopping, because I told Brent to not bother buying too much without me. I might as well go with him and check out what there is, which was actually kind of fun. He showed me his co-working space, where he actually does his normal day job activities. It was pretty nice. Picked up a parcel and then went to a supermarket, which was kind of funny for me. It's kind of like UK supermarkets on steroids in some ways. We tried to find some drinks, some soft drinks. I was trying to find something sweet but non-caffeinated, just to help me cruise along for the rest of the day and address the jet lag a little bit. So I decided I want to find Sprite. And it turns out that in that supermarket, Sprite comes either in like these massive 2-liter bottles or in 6-packs, which you cannot unwrap. You either take a whole 2 liters or you take a 6-pack. There's no 1 liter, 1.5 liter, 0.75, or even like a single 0.5 liter bottles at the normal drinks aisle. We did find a single small bottle in the fridge by the checkouts. But yeah, this is like peak North America right there, if I've ever seen it. So after doing shopping and getting some ingredients for a barbecue that Brent's brother and sister-in-law were apparently preparing for us, along with some other friends that were around, we headed back to indulge.
And yeah, the first thing that I noticed arriving at the cabin, and something that completely I did not expect and also threw me, is that this place is full of hummingbirds. I've never seen hummingbirds. They're so cool. And Aaron, Brent's brother, basically puts out hummingbird feeders, which are like little plastic containers with, well, sugar water. So the hummingbirds can go and sip a little bit at a time. They just hang them around and you can watch them just hover and buzz around. They're super cute and tiny. It's super, super nice. This completely did not expect this. So having greeted Brent's family and friends that were there, and all of their pets, of which there are many. There's a dog and three cats. Well, I greeted the dog. The cats can go and do whatever they want. They're not really interested. Yeah, we sat down and went cooking and doing things around. It was very super open and friendly and just nice and chill and easy, which is definitely something that's much appreciated after being on your feet at that point for like 18 hours or something. Or 20. In the end, we cooked some burgers, we ate some burgers, had some chats. Apparently, I introduced halloumi to them. Like, they've never had halloumi cheese, which is kind of crazy to think because it's super popular in Berlin and even in Poland. But yeah, I threw some halloumi on the grill and everybody liked it. So, plus one for me, I guess. Ended up talking to everybody till about, well, 11 or midnight local time, at which point I was on my feet already for 26 hours. And then crashed in my own little cabin here, which is also super sweet. Just a single room with a mini kitchen annex and its own bathroom. And it's just fabulous. And that's basically day one.